Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for joining us today on this Monday. We're starting the second week of a fantastic two-week series by Derek Prince on the theme of restoration. And last week, after opening the topic with the subject of restoring Israel and the restoration of Israel, Derek transitioned to the theme of the restoration of the church. And that's what we pick up today, with the restoration of the church. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back for a bride. He's not coming back for a harem. He's coming back for a bride, which means there's got to be unity in the body of Christ. And that is what God is about restoring in our generation. He's trying to bring the body of Christ together, much as he's been trying all throughout the history of the church. And so this is going to be a wonderful time this week of studying this theme of restoration, seeing how God is trying to bring it about, and also, by the way, watching the parallels of restoration in the nation of Israel, because that really is the great interpretive key, isn't it? That God is doing in the church what he has already done and what he has sort of prefigured in the life of Israel. Now, at the back part of our program today, we're going to have an amazing interview with David Dolan, who's actually going to be calling in from Jerusalem, and I think you're going to be interested in the scene that he's actually going to describe that he's looking at while we spoke with him. But anyway, let's get to it now, as Derek Prince teaches us on restoration, and specifically on the restoration of the church.
In my talk today, I'm going to deal with the restoration of unity within the church. Let me begin by stating two basic principles. First, unity is the ultimate objective of God for the church. Second, a divided church can never defeat a united kingdom of Satan. Let's look briefly at these principles in turn. First of all, unity is the ultimate objective of God for the church. This comes out clearly in the prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, the prayer that's often called his high priestly prayer for his people. At the end of the prayer, in verses 21 and 23, he says this, and he's speaking about all who believe in him, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And again in verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Notice the two successive phrases. First of all, that the world may believe, and then that the world may know. What is it that confronts the world with the testimony of Jesus in its most effective form? It's not missions, it's not evangelism, it's not tract distribution. All these are good, but there's something more effective as a testimony to Jesus than all of those, something without which many of these lose much of their effectiveness, and that is the manifested unity of all believers. Jesus prays for this in clear, specific language because he says, through it the world may believe, and the world may know. Then again in Ephesians 4:13, Paul speaks about the main ministries that we've been discussing in the previous talks this week, and he states this as the objective for these ministries: until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Notice, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. That states as clearly as language can do that one final objective of God for the church is that we all attain to the unity of the faith. So, it's, I believe, scriptural and correct to say that unity is the ultimate objective of God for the church. Then the other principle. A divided church can never defeat a united kingdom of Satan. This principle is made clear by Jesus in Matthew 12, verses 25 and 26. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Notice that Jesus speaks about a divided kingdom or a divided house and says that such a kingdom or a house cannot stand. Scripture refers to the church both as a kingdom and as a house. So if the church is divided against itself, it cannot stand. And in the words that follow about Satan, he indicates clearly that Satan's kingdom is not divided. So, as long as the church remains divided and Satan's kingdom is undivided, the church will never overthrow Satan's kingdom. Satan, of course, knows this well. He's very well acquainted with Scripture, and his supreme objective is to keep the church divided. Therefore, anything that we do to perpetuate disunity is playing into Satan's hands. Now, yesterday I said that authority is a necessary stepping stone to unity. I want to explain now why I said that. The answer is because unity flows from the head downwards. This principle is stated in Psalm 133, a short psalm with just three verses. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, even to the hem of his garment." And then it compares unity also to the dew of Hermon. Notice that unity starts at the head and flows downwards. It never flows upwards. And that's how unity can come to the church, and in no other way. It must come from the leaders down to the people. Let me state a simple principle. Divided pastors produce divided people. United pastors produce united people. The division in the church, in the whole body, is a reflection of the division between leaders. If leaders were not divided, people would not be divided.
You know, there's a great truth in the Bible that is absolutely applicable to this whole issue of unity, and that is any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a city or a house divided against itself shall not stand. If we are going to disciple the nations, if we are going to see the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, we will have to walk in unity. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and if you've been with us thus far today, you know that we're talking about restoration, and specifically the restoration of the church, a fascinating teaching by Derek Prince. And don't forget, toward the back end of our show today, we're going to have a very special interview with David Dolan, who's in Jerusalem and will be calling us to tell us what's going on in that all-important nation on earth. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us about the restoration of the church.
Now in Ezekiel chapter 34, we are confronted with an indictment of God on the shepherds of Israel. It's too long to read it, but let me just extract the great principle from this, that God judges shepherds by the condition of their sheep, not by their background, not by their degrees, not by their denomination, but by the results they produce in his people, their sheep. So if the church today is divided, strife-torn, weakened, and made incapable of overcoming Satan's kingdom, the responsibility rests upon the leaders of God's people, not upon some, but upon all. I too have to take my share of responsibility, and every leader of God's people is, both individually, together with the rest, responsible for the division of God's people. That is a terrible responsibility for us to carry. Now I want to give you a brief but practical pattern for God's people coming together in unity. It's taken from the Old Testament, but the principles apply just as well today. I'm going to read some verses from Psalm 122, verses 3 through 7. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Now, the city of Jerusalem in the Old Covenant is a picture, amongst other things, of the church of Jesus Christ under the New Covenant. And Jerusalem was the focal point and the center of unity for God's people under the Old Covenant. Let me extract just a few important points from that psalm that I've just read. First of all, it says, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Interestingly enough, in the Hebrew, that word compact is formed from a Hebrew root, which means basically a companion or a fellow. Actually, it's the same root that gives us the word Hebron. So the compactness of the church is in fellowship. It's in the relationship between fellow believers. Secondly, Israel went up three times a year by tribes under recognized leaders to their point of unity, Jerusalem. They did not go up as individuals. Each tribe went under leadership. It was the responsibility of the leaders to take their people to the point of unity. Thirdly, the testimony of Israel was their coming together in this way. That's why God ordained that they had to do it three times every year, because by coming together in that way, they demonstrated to the whole surrounding world that they were one nation who had one God whom all of them served and worshipped. It was the visible demonstration of their national unity. Then again, their coming together had three results: authority, peace, and prosperity. That's the order in which they're stated. Their coming together brought them to the place where the thrones were set, the thrones being always the picture of divine authority. Then it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Notice, peace comes before prosperity. The Church of Jesus Christ will never know true prosperity until it first has peace. So the order is authority, peace, prosperity. You see that authority is essential to peace, and peace is essential to prosperity. Now, the restoration of unity in the Church following this pattern means two basic requirements. Very simple. First, that God's people recognize and obey their leaders. Secondly, that the leaders recognize and relate to each other. That's all it takes, basically. Let me state those two requirements again and close. First, that God's people recognize and obey their leaders. Second, that the leaders recognize and relate to each other.
You know, when you listen to Derek teach, you really do understand what is absolutely true and springs from every page of Scripture. And that is that you cannot understand what's happening with the church until you understand what has already happened with Israel. Just ahead, David Dolan from Jerusalem as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and joining me in the studio now is Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, always great to have you here.
Stephen, good to see you again.
But we have a very special guest today that both Dick and I are going to be speaking with from Jerusalem. David Dolan is a broadcast journalist, a very popular speaker, successful author, who has lived in Israel since 1980. And since we're talking about unity in the church, unity perhaps even of Israel and the church, and our unified purposes behind Israel, we'll be talking about that in the coming week, we wanted to talk to David and get his perspective. David, thank you so much for being with us.
Stephen, it's great to be with you.
Let me ask you, first of all, to make us all just hungry to hop a jet and fly to Jerusalem or to Tel Aviv, describe what you're looking at right now.
Well, I was fortunate to purchase an apartment just south of the old city of Jerusalem about 6 years ago, and I'm looking out at sunset over the old city. The Golden Dome on the Temple Mount is shining in the sunset. I can see all of the graves on the Mount of Olives also shimmering in the sun, and above that, the Ascension Tower, where, well, more or less where the Lord ascended to heaven, and where the Bible says he's returning to. So it's a historic scene. And there's a group of Arabs walking down on the street below and some tourists nearby looking at the scenery. It's a beautiful sunset here.
David, I'm sitting in Nashville, Tennessee, two blocks from the Pancake Pantry. Somehow it just doesn't sound as romantic.
Well, maybe not, but pancakes are good, too.
That's a beautiful scene you're describing. Did you move to Israel in 1980 for work or out of a theological or biblical conviction?
Actually, it was to take some time off of work. I started as a radio journalist in the Pacific Northwest, my native part of America, and did that for a few years, but I was still fairly young then, and I had a bit of wanderlust, and of course, being a born-again Christian, this just seemed like a great place to come to visit. So I really only came to live here for 1 year with a Christian program kind of based on a YWAM model that put Christians on kibbutz settlements for 1 year to work. And I just never left. A lot of news over here. Christian radio station, The Voice of Hope in South Lebanon, invited me to come and join them in 1982. And I've just stayed on ever since then, and the news has kept coming all that time.
David, was it there in Jerusalem that you first came across the work and the life of Derek Prince, or were you already familiar with him?
I'd already read a couple of his books before I left the States for Israel, actually, and was impressed by them. But, of course, it was here that I first met him, heard him speak publicly. I have to tell you, I was very much in awe of his talks. Mostly I heard him at the International Christian Embassy Feast of Tabernacles celebrations. And then later on, I was very, very privileged to join a prayer, weekly prayer meeting with him and Ruth, his wife Ruth, held at the home of Lance Lambert, a very close mutual friend, a Jewish believer here in Jerusalem. And so there I got to know them very, very well and became friends and enjoyed all the time we spent together over the next few years.
Now, David, let me play devil's advocate for just a moment, which some of my friends say I do too well. You know, we've got Pat Buchanan a few years ago saying that Washington, D.C. is an Israeli-occupied zone. You have American politicians talking about Israel as though it's just a thorn in our foot sometimes. The whole world seems at times to be angry at Israel and treating Israel at very least like a misbehaving child. And yet here in America, you've got John Hagee with A Night to Honor Israel, and you've got the Church praying for Israel and people wanting to bless Israel and people talking about how the United States should support Israel at all costs and its policies. I mean, help us ferret this out a little bit. Why should Christians, or should they, be radical in their support of Israel? And why, this is the second question, are so many people in the world today opposed to that very view?
Well, I think really it was Derek Prince, among others, but he very eloquently laid out the biblical case for supporting Israel. I mean, look, I'm in a city that's 3,000 years old. King David had his capital here a long time before America came along. So something's going on here. The fact that Israel was first around the world in accordance with the prophet's warnings, if they sin, they'd be tossed out of the land. And then, also in accordance with those same prophecies, returned here in the last century or so from all over the earth and have set up a thriving country that is now a high-tech leader with a currency, by the way, that's now stronger than the U.S. dollar. It's been rising against the dollar for the past few years. All of this, to me, just indicates that something is going on. And as I said, Derek laid out the biblical reasons for believing that this is God's hand that we're seeing. I very much believe it. And I guess what you could say is, if God is doing it, why would we oppose it? And I believe he is doing that. Why do people not see that? Why do Christians in many cases not see that? Well, frankly, I think it's because they don't take their Bibles very literally or very seriously, because if they did, they would see that, no, this country isn't being brought back because it deserves it or because the people are better than anybody else. God said, Ezekiel 36 is one place, he would keep his covenant promises with them for his name's sake, and therefore he would restore them in the end days, and they would thrive, and they would be here when the Messiah returns to this very city I'm in. So I think that's the basis of it. The existence of Israel is indeed something we want to stand with, and we don't want to see Iran wipe her out or these other threats coming against her. Those are just a few of the things I think we can do, but there's a lot more there.
David, it's been just fascinating listening to you today. You know, we hear a lot of people talk about Israel here in the States, but it's just great to talk to a guy who's actually standing right there watching the sunset over the old city and who really knows what's going on in sort of a first-hand experiential way. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Stephen.
Listen, if you've missed any of the teaching today, any of our interviews, and of course, all last week where we've been on the theme of restoration, log on to DerekPrince.org and you'll find not only this teaching, but other wonderful teachings and all sorts of great information about what's going on with Derek Prince Ministries. Well, listen, for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, including Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries, right here in the studio with me, and me, Stephen Mansfield, join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Thank you for joining us for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order your copy of Derek's book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, give us a call, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This insightful book is only $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can purchase your copy securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators.
For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.